this course, we incorporate faith and confession. We incorporate the Word of God. We incorporate the power of our words, the delegated authority that Jesus gave to us by using His name in words. So we're going to cover a real wide span in this course. And I want you just to stay hooked up with me and believe that you're going to get what you need out of this class. Every time I've taught this, I just seem to get more revelation, more understanding. And it grows. And it is so much fun and so exciting. This topic, I get so excited about it. But I'm just going to jump straight into this. This is the power of words. The power of God's Word and the power of your words. And this is exciting. And the reason why this is exciting is because this can change your life if you want it to. God's given you tools to change things. Tools. And they're exciting. And they work when you use them. So we've got to get ourselves so motivated, so moved, so stirred in our understanding of how powerful this area is that we're moved to action, to actually putting it into practice so that we can get the results that God wants for us. Now, I had a fabulous opportunity several years ago, quite a few years ago, actually. I was invited to a home where a gentleman was babysitting, and he was actually the grandfather of these two young boys. When I arrived, the two boys had just been put to bed. So we together walked back to their room, and I was going to say goodnight to them. And I noticed they had bunk beds. They're both close in age. And I noticed that they had cassette recorder and headphones. And one boy, the older boy, was listening to something, some type of a tape. And the younger boy was not listening to it. And it was kind of pushed to the side of his bed. So I asked this wonderful man, what are they doing? And he said, well, both boys are not doing very well in school. They're actually getting D's. And they're both playing sports. They're playing baseball. And neither one of them are doing very well, even though they both wanted to do well. So he had invested quite a bit of money into some tape series that were designed to build people up. And so they said things like, you are a success. You can get good grades. You are smart. You excel at sports. You're great at baseball. And they were just building, edifying. Weren't necessarily Christian, just positive, and I can say this, faith-filled words. And so I noticed, well, one boy was listening, and one boy wasn't. This grandfather said to the younger boy, why don't you go ahead and put that on and listen to it? And the little boy, with an attitude, it hurts my ears. He pushed it away like that. Well, interesting. You know, he refused it. So, yet this other boy, the older one, listened every night before he went to bed for several months. Time went by, because I know this family, so I had contact with them for a long time. And several years later, you want to know what happened? That older boy went from D's to straight A's and got on the honor roll. He got a scholarship to college for baseball. The younger boy that refused to listen stayed with poor grades and eventually dropped out of high school. And one of the last reports I got, he was in a halfway house. Two boys, same parents, same family, same opportunities, same obstacles, same situation. And what made the difference? It was really interesting that I got to see this over a long time span. Words. One of them took the words and fed on positive, faith-filled words and allowed those words to get into their spirit and strengthen them and change them and make a difference. And one refused. It was all done with words. Nobody changed anything. Nobody did anything different. The parents didn't treat the kids different. It was just a very interesting example of what the right kind of words can do. That's what we're going to be studying in this course, the power of words. The power of the words that we listen to, the power of the words that we speak over ourselves and over others, the importance of God's word, how we value our own word, the fact that it's important for you to keep your word and be good to your word, so that when you speak the word out and you command a devil to leave, it knows it must obey you because you are good to your word. If you never keep your word and you don't mean your word, then who needs to stand behind your word? God will stand behind your word, but if you don't stand behind your own word, you don't have faith and confidence that you mean what you say, then the enemy's going to know that also. So it's very important that you're a person of your word, so that you have that confidence knowing when I say something, I mean it. So it means we don't get real loose with our words. People making comments like, that just drives me crazy. And you're going to start to understand why that's not a very good thing to say. Because if you're saying that, then when you pray a prayer of faith, you lay hands on somebody for healing and you say, be healed in the name of Jesus, why do you believe that's going to come to pass any more than you saying something drives you crazy? Do you understand? See, now, we know it's the power of Jesus Christ in the name of Jesus that's doing it, but there is a portion of this that you've got to have confidence in the words that you speak also. If you tell somebody you'll be there at 8 o'clock, you need to be there at 8 o'clock. Why? Because you're a person of your word. If you say you're going to do something, you need to do it. Because if you don't do it, and then you want to declare something out into the universe and speak something forth, how are you going to believe it's going to come to pass if you don't mean what you say? So this has really shrunk a lot of joking, because we want to be careful that it's not at someone else's expense anyway. But things like that drives me crazy. Do you understand? These little silly sayings that people say like that. Okay, so now let's go, and we're going to go into Genesis. And I want us to look at some things in Genesis about God and about His Word. Now, in Genesis, we're going to see what God did with His words. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And notice this, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So here we see that the Holy Spirit is moving over the earth. But nothing happens until a specific thing happens. Look at verse 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now listen, the Holy Spirit was here. That means the power of God to move, to act, was here. The power was here. But nothing happened until God spoke. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, is on the inside of you. The healing power of God, then, is on the inside of you. The power to make wealth is on the inside of you, because the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. But nothing will happen until you speak. The power is there. It's been imparted to you. But it is activated by speaking. So God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now I want you to know something else that's very interesting about this. Verse 4. And God saw that the light was good. This means that God created by speaking, and He spoke it into being before He saw it. And then He saw it and called it good. Now, we have that modeled for us in Scripture. Because Scripture says that we are to walk by faith, not by sight, not by the sense realm, not by what we can feel or touch. We're to walk by faith. Faith in what? Faith in the Word of God and faith in God. Now, God models this for us. God spoke the world into being. And then He saw that it was good. And that's what He wants us to do with our faith. He wants us to speak things into being and then see them come to pass. Often people are waiting for it to happen and then they will declare it. But that's knowledge, not faith. Anybody can wait until it happens and then say it is so. But God wants our faith, and our faith means that we speak it before we see it. Now, we speak it based on the Word of God, based on promises that God's given us. Now, we can go all through this chapter. Look at verse 6. Then God said. So he didn't just create one part by speaking, but we can see in almost every one of these verses that God created by speaking. Verse 9, then God said, let the waters blow and the heavens be gathered into one place. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them on the earth. And it was so. Isn't that incredible? How did he do it? He spoke it. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens. Now again, notice, here we go. Verse 18, and to govern the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. He created by speaking, and then he saw it. Verse 20, then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. Verse 22, God blessed them. Verse 24, then God said. Now, let's look at this. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over everything that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, and God created man in his own image. God created us in his image, and he created us male and female. Now, verse 31, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. When he made man, he called man very good. God saw what he had created, and he saw it after he spoke it into being. Now, we were made in the image of God, and there's something interesting that I want us to look at, and that is when it talks about God made man, let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now, that's New American Standard, says living being. I think King James said, maybe it said living soul. I don't have it open in front of me right now. Living soul. A pastor friend of mine was in Israel, and she got a book that had ancient Hebrew words in it and looked up this right here. Those words right there, living being or living soul, in the ancient Hebrew. So if you look it up in a Strong's Concordance right now, not the ancient Hebrew, it doesn't come out the same way. But the ancient Hebrew, which this would have been written in originally, it says speaking spirit. So that means that God breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a speaking spirit. And in the study book on the Hebrew, it says that when God breathed into man, breath blown comes from the very essence of man, that God from his very essence was breathing into man, putting that spirit, that soul into man. So man was made out of earthly things, out of the dust, but man was also made out of the spirit of God breathing into him and made in the image of God. Isn't it interesting that man is called a speaking spirit? And the real you is a spirit, and the real me is a spirit. Yes, we have a body, we have a soul and emotions, we have a mind, we have a will, but the real you, this body won't go to heaven, but your spirit will. Your brain won't go to heaven, but your spirit will. The real you is a spirit being. The real you is a spirit. I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body, made in the image of God. Okay, so I just find this very, very interesting. Now, as I was getting further and further into my understanding of the importance of words, and we'll get into this later, I started realizing how important confession is. In other words, taking words and making them work for me. Getting them to go out and work. Speaking the word of God out over my life or my child's life. Why? Because the word of God says he watches over his word to perform it. So if somebody says they are sick, that's not what the word of God says. That's something that the devil does. The devil comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. So the devil's work is to kill, steal, destroy. So sickness fits in those categories. So when somebody says with the words of their mouth that they are sick, they are giving the devil increased access. Because they're not showing their faith in the Word of God. They're not speaking out that by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. Himself bore my infirmities and carried away my diseases. That's what the Word of God says. When you speak the Word of God out, you give God something to watch over and perform. When you speak sickness, you give the devil something to perform. Do you see the difference there? So if you say something that is opposite to what the Word of God says, you are speaking unbelief. And you are speaking and allowing the devil to take it and run with it. You're basically empowering the devil. And we don't want to empower the devil over our lives. We want to empower God to perform His Word. So we want to be speaking His Word over our lives. If you say, I don't have enough money, money is tight, then what is money? Tight. Then what do you have? Not enough. Okay? So we want to be careful with our words. What you want to say is what the Word of God says, and you want to be declaring and speaking out what the Word says so that God can watch over it and bring it to pass. You want to say, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And when you speak that out, angels go and do His Word and cause money to come into you and cause your needs to be met. You see? But what happens is sometimes people have a tendency to side with what they see and what they feel and the natural realm of the circumstances, and they speak the circumstances instead of boldly proclaiming and declaring what the Word of God says so that that can come to pass. So what we end up with is then sometimes people start to get a revelation of this, an understanding of this, and then they start to put it into practice. But people got to come to the point where they're not just sometimes putting this into practice and then sometimes making these negative confessions because they wipe each other out. On the phone in front of your pastor, you can say, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm going to be at that meeting, I'm healed, and get off the phone and call up your best friend and say, I just feel miserable. I feel lousy. My head's all clogged up, and I'm coughing left and right. I don't even know how I'm going to get through it. How could I even sit through the meeting? Will you pray for me? One was a positive confession. You just wiped it out. Now, that doesn't mean don't confide in people. It doesn't mean don't get help. I mean, you know, when you go to a doctor, you need to tell him what the symptoms are. You need to tell him what's going on so he can accurately help you. But we also need to be just very careful with not being loose with our words, sloppy with our words. So the more you grow in faith, the more you'll understand how important your words are, because faith is activated by words. We can say it this way. Faith is released by words. Faith is empowered by words. So your words become extremely important. My God shall meet all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you can lay your hands on that checkbook or whatever you need to do, or you can claim bonuses or whatever. You can call it in the name of Jesus. This is the way that it is. I say it shall be the way that God promised me in His Word, and that is the way it shall be. But it takes faith to do that. See the importance of words here? When you start to get this, and you start to really get how important it is, you'll start to make adjustments in different areas of your life, of areas where you've gotten kind of either just by ignorance, not realizing what you were doing, or sloppy. You start to kind of tighten up those bolts. Tighten up what you say. Be more careful with what you say. Even Chad, one day I know that at that time he was not feeling well, and so he wasn't going to go to school, and I had to call the school. And they said, is he sick? And I did not want to say yes. I said, it would be better for him to stay home and rest today. And it was. I didn't lie. It was the truth. But I didn't have to make a negative confession. So you start to kind of get wise in how you speak and careful with your words. There was one time, one of the last times I was teaching this class, it was on words, and he started not to feel very good and he had a cough and he called me in to pray for him. And I went in to pray for him, laid hands on him, prayed for him. By the time I left his bedroom, It was after the course. And then I walked back to my room, and my bed, my throat was hurting. And I thought, no, devil, no. And I just claimed scripture. The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Devil, you must flee. I say no to that sickness. And it left. It came fast. I mean, I knew it wasn't a natural body thing. Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it can be just a natural thing. I knew it was spiritual, coming that fast. I said, oh, no, you don't. Flee. I'm submitted to God. You leave. But I had to stand my authority. If you kind of think, well, I don't know. I haven't been doing that good lately. And so, you know, then the devil's like, yeah, that's right. You haven't been doing that good lately. So I might as well just hang around. Right? You don't want to agree with that. That's why the blood of Jesus is so important, and the forgiveness of Jesus and staying right with God. Clear conscience. If you miss it, repent, get right. So that when you speak, you know you've got authority. You know that God's standing with your word, behind your word, and the name of Jesus is working on your behalf. Now, as I started to understand this, I started realizing confession is really important. What we say is really important. So in other words, there's a whole bunch of things I could be speaking out over my life, calling things into being, speaking things out. And it was really interesting because I started realizing that I started doing this. I started making a real long list of all these confessions, just positive things. I yield fruit and my fruit remains. I'm pleasing to God. Well, these are good things and good goals. So I'm just setting them up and I'm speaking them out and I'm confessing and I'm making these confessions, speaking these things. And finally I got to a point where I said, Lord, this is a lot of work. Quietly talking to God, and I'm like, if I have to stay on this and keep doing these confessions, I mean, number one, it takes time, not just to create your list, but to stay with your list, because we've all got other things to do. We still need to be praying. We still need to be reading the Word. We still need to work. We still need to take care of our kids. We still need to do our laundry and our grocery shopping and clean the house. We got stuff. And I'm like, now we've added another stuff. And I'm thinking, Lord, this is time consuming. This is work. But it is, he started showing me how important it is that if we spend more time doing that kind of work, the rest of our work in the natural will become much easier because things will have to line up with what we've been saying. And the rest of the areas will become much more peaceful, much more organized, orderly, beneficial. And we track with God because everything we're saying is coming to pass. Why? Because he watches over his word to perform it. Does God want us to be pleasing to him? Yes, we're to make that as our goal. You know, another one I was confessing was that I am loving. I am patient. I am kind. I am so patient. I am so kind. I'm patient and kind in traffic. I'm patient and kind everywhere I go. I'm never moved from that, no matter where other people are at. And you speak these things out, and what is God doing? You're speaking out his word, and he's going to watch over it to perform it, right? I mean, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And he who began a good work in us will complete it until the day of Christ. It is his desire for these things to come to pass. When we hook up our mouth with these things, we give him something to perform. And we set up our expectation. I'll tell you what, nobody can be confessing and be depressed. A cure for depression? Start confessing. Start speaking what you want to come to pass, what you want to happen, and depression will have no place. Why? Because you're excited. You're excited. You've got a goal, because confessions will create a goal for you. It puts something before you, gets you excited and focused about something. You're believing it's coming to pass. You go over it and over it, and you know God. Oh, Father, I thank you that today you're performing your word over my life. Thank you. You're performing your word over my family. You're performing your word over my finances. I don't walk by what I see. I walk by faith. I don't go by the sense realm. I don't go by what I can feel. I don't go by what I can touch. I go by your written word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes. It comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. That's how we grow in faith. So the more you speak his word out over your life and over circumstances that are affecting you or that you want to affect, the more your faith grows because you're speaking his word. So you're growing in faith. Matthew 12:37 says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Your words. By your words you're justified, and by your words you're condemned. And that, we can just look at that. That's true for salvation. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Confessing and believing. These are not new principles. They're laid out for us even in Genesis. We see it. God modeled it for us. God put it in there for a reason. He put it in there so we could see it. We could see what he did and how he did it. And then he put confession, salvation, he showed us about salvation. You confess and believe. You confess and believe. Now, if salvation, you confess unto, you know, Pastor Brad's taught on that, unto, you confess into it. You confess unto it, meaning as you speak it out, you speak it into being, it comes to pass. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and it comes to pass. I believe in my heart, and I speak with my mouth. Now, it's not just salvation that is that way, but that is the way everything is, unless it is a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Then that's as the Holy Spirit wills. But unless it is a specific manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, everything you get in your life is by you believing and you speaking. That's the way salvation comes. You believed and you spoke. At some point, you spoke it out. It may not have been that night. It may not have been immediately. But at some point, you followed those steps. Now, let's look at this. Mark 11:23. If you don't have this underlined, this is going to be one of our main texts for this course. It says, have faith in God. And if we study that out, what it really means there is have the God kind of faith. Well, we just saw in Genesis what the God kind of faith will do. And we'll see it in Romans, too. We'll look in another place. Have the God kind of faith. Now, what kind of faith is that we're exhorted to have here? The kind of faith that believes and speaks. And believes that when it speaks something out, it comes to pass. That's the God kind of faith. And here it is again. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, God told Brother Hagin many years ago, you're going to need to do 3 times as much teaching on the saying part as the believing part. And it's in there 3 times, 2 to 3 times. Whoever shall say to this mountain, what he says, saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So we can put it this way. He shall have the words he speaks. Makes it a little easier because we don't really use the word saith. In other words, when you believe something in your heart and you speak to it, and you believe that when you speak it will happen, then it's granted to you. Like God knows when you really get to the point where you believe, and then it's granted. When you believe, you've got it. When you believe, you say, and it comes to pass, it's granted to you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Amplified calls it title deeds, like having the title deed, even though you don't see it with your senses. Yet you believe you possess it. The Amplified is very interesting in that, Hebrews 11. So this verse, if we look at this right here in Mark 11:23, it does not say that he shall have whatsoever he believeth, does it? Does it say you'll have whatever you believe? No. It says he shall have whatsoever he... See, a lot of times people are believing, but they're not putting action to it by speaking it out. It doesn't take much faith. It really doesn't. When the disciples said, Jesus, oh, we need more faith. Jesus didn't say, yeah, you do. He said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all the seeds, you shall say to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea. And if you believe, it'll be granted. He didn't tell them they needed more. Is use what you have. And the way you use it is by speaking, not thinking. Doesn't say think about it. Doesn't say meditate on it in this case. It's good to meditate on the Word of God, but this is not saying meditate on the Word right here. This is saying speak it out. A lot of times we know we need to do these things, but there's a big difference between knowing we need to do it and actually doing it. We walk by faith, not by sight. We are to speak things into being. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 17 through 18. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, in the sight of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. That's what God does. Calls into being that which does not exist. Isn't that fabulous? God calls it into being. It may not be there, but God will call it into being for you. And how does he do it? Well, verse 18 tells us, in hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now, this was talking about Abraham here, who God called the father of many nations. And yet Abraham hadn't had any children, and his wife was well beyond the time of having children. And yet God said it would be. And how did he do it? He called it into being. He spoke it into being over Abraham. He changed his name. God changed Abraham's name. Why? Because every time Abraham said his name, he was making a positive confession of who he was. I'm father of many nations. I'm father of many nations. He had no children. And God changed his name, Abram, to Abraham. I am father of many nations. Father of many nations. Father of many nations. Confessing it. Confessing it. Confessing it. And God spoke. That's what God does. He calls things into being which do not exist. Abraham did not have children, but God called it into being. And he got Abraham to hook up with him in faith and in confession by changing his name. Abraham is called the father of our faith. Why? Because it was reckoned to him as righteousness because of his faith. Abraham had faith. And we're like Abraham, children of Abraham. He is the father of our faith. He is a person of faith, and we are like him. Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. God spoke, God saw, yet words were not visible when God spoke. You know that there are words all around us. They may not be visible, but if you turn on a radio, what happens? The radio will pick up words. If I take this jar and I show you this jar, it looks what? But we can't always go by what we see, can we? See, we think we can't see words, but words are all around us. And it looks empty, but if I open it, it's not empty. Not only is it not empty, but look at how many words I can fit in there. Was it empty? Just because you couldn't see it doesn't mean it wasn't there, right? It was there. The words were there all along. You couldn't see them with your eyes, but were they there? Yeah. The Bible says that faith is a substance. Faith may not be something that man can measure, but faith is a substance. It's measurable, because God says to each was given the measure of faith. And we were each given the same measure of faith, because God is fair. And you may look at some people and say, they have incredible faith. How do they have such great faith? They have the same amount of faith that you were given. And if it seems like they have more, it may be because they've grown their faith more and they've exercised their faith more. But they were given the same amount that you and I were given. We're all given the same amount. God's fair. Hebrews 1:3 says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. What's upholding gravity? Probably God. And I'm going to give you this one last interesting piece of information, and then we'll wrap up this session. You know, scientists don't necessarily always agree with God, but it used to be that the smallest material they could break anything down into was called the atom. The atom was absolutely the smallest thing that man knew existed, the smallest form. And do you know that within the last few years, they've been able to break down the atom? And do you know what an atom has now been broken down into a smaller part? And the scientists have called that a quark. And the quark is a sound wave. Isn't that interesting? Well, that just goes to reinforce that the Bible's true. God spoke it into being and upholds all things by the word of his power. All things were prepared by God. are held together by God. God spoke it into being. Now, the smallest thing that we know of is a sound wave. Isn't that interesting? So we're starting to understand how important words are. God's word, our words, that we were made speaking spirits, how important it is to be able to speak things out, that speaking activates our faith. And we'll go ahead and continue studying more on this and applying this more. And I think as you continue growing in this, it's going to give you such a desire to be speaking things out and getting your confessions going that it's going to be exciting. So bless you.